Good morning. It's easy to make presumptions when you stumble into a conversation that's already in progress, isn't it? That seems to be the case with the gospel this morning, which begins at the fifth verse of this chapter in Luke. But don't worry, as we explore the beginning of the chapter, we can get a pretty good idea of where the conversation began and maybe where it's headed. Our Lord has told the story of the rich man and Lazarus, which many of us heard last Sunday. And prior to that, he has presented the parable of the shrewd manager and the manager's actions, likening them to being unfaithful in the wealth of his master. Now, as this chapter begins, Jesus describes the need for mutual accountability among disciples and the willingness to hold each other accountable. He also tells them that forgiveness is foundational, and forgiveness is to be extended as often as necessary when repentance is undertaken. To these words, the apostles say to the Lord, "Give us more faith." But Jesus' reply puts a spin on their request. In effect, Jesus says, "You don't need more faith. You need a different kind of faith, the kind that makes the impossible possible. And with that faith, you will do all that God expects of you." All that God expects of you. In the New Testament, the Greek term pistis for faith, or pistuo for believing, normally means trust or commitment to some person. That faith or believing is in God, as revealed to us by Jesus the Christ. The author of the letter to the Hebrews in chapter 11 writes it like this. "Faith," he says, "makes us sure of what we hope for and gives us proof of what we cannot see. But without faith, no one can please God. We must believe that God is real and that God rewards everyone who searches for God's holy presence." So is faith just a giant-sized hope and the unseen proof a figment of our imagination? Do we make it up as we go along? It is made up as we go along if our reality, our sensory reality, is all we know. But true faith is Christ Jesus' faith. It's his trust. It's his belief in the Holy One, Yahweh. That was alive and active from his birth to his death and ultimately his resurrection. Only the faith of Jesus in God's love and the goodness of that love could have given him the strength to undergo torture and crucifixion. Only his faith in his Father's love and the goodness of his Father's love could have led him to proclaim that he had been anointed to bring good news to the poor, and then to give proof of that anointing by healing, raising a widow's son from the dead, restoring to community anyone who had been marginalized for their brokenness. And by the way, all of these acts that I'm talking about are all found throughout the Gospel of Luke prior to the text we're reading today. And only Jesus' faith could have responded to the Pharisees who came to warn him of King Herod's intention to kill him. Do you remember what he said? "Go and tell that fox for me," meaning Herod. "Listen, I am casting out demons and performing cures today, tomorrow, and the third day. And on the third day, I will finish my work." Jesus' faith made him not afraid. It was his steadfast faith in God's love for him and for the world. My brothers and sisters in Christ, we need a different kind of faith today. We need the faith that belongs to Christ, and we cannot manufacture it. It is the only faith that can make the impossible possible. It is the only power that restores a dead man to life and heals by words, by touch, and even by intention. I bet you didn't know that power was within you, did you? Yes, no, or maybe. Do this? Yes, or no. The power to affect the change you want to see in the world is only by intention. It starts by intention. On July 20th, 1969, Neil Armstrong and Edwin Buzz Aldrin did what had previously been considered as impossible. They landed on the moon. Y'all remember that? Some of us. But over a decade prior to this landing, and with 300 or 400,000 men and women of NASA, the impossible was indeed made possible. You see, some bodies had the belief that it could be done. And they imagined, they imaged a vision of it being done. They imagined that it would be done. And then they set about with the intentions and actions to make what seemed to be impossible possible. None of us have ever been to the moon, and yet we believe that it has been done. We believe that it can be done because it has been done. The last lunar landing by an astronaut was in 1972. A lot of people had faith, and their faith was given proof by their actions. No one simply believes something and then acts in the opposite way, as if they didn't believe at all. It is so difficult for us to believe that Christ Jesus' own faith is ours for the asking. And I believe it's difficult for several reasons. First, we like to think we have control over our lives. Some don't think that they need anything but their own minds or whatever it is that they exceedingly value. Of course, this control is totally illusory. When the crisis hits, and inevitably will, we're challenged to keep standing or to keep moving forward. And then secondly, many of us have not cultivated a depth of relationship with our Lord. We haven't come to know him. I said to the community this morning gathered, it's like when you were wooing your partner, your spouse, your other half. You spent time with them. You wanted to know who they were. So you talk back and forth. He likes this, he doesn't like that. She likes this, she doesn't like that. We have to spend the time with our Lord in prayer. We have to cultivate that relationship. Through prayer, we can be assured of the vastness of God's love for us. Y'all, the church, from the very beginning, has always considered prayer as a staple in the life of the disciple. And lastly, I think it's hard for us to believe that Jesus wants to give us his faith, because many of us deep down really believe that we're unlovable, that we're unworthy. We are so broken in such deep places that we have no idea of the beauty of our souls to our Lord. We have no idea of the truth of how God really sees us. For these reasons and many others, we find it hard to really believe in God's love, especially when we're exposed to all the suffering we see, all the suffering we endure in our lives and the lives of people around us? Are we supposed to just deny what we see and experience? Our faith can't hold up against the violence. It can't hold up against the poverty, the degradation, the injustice, the loss of health, the loss of mental health, or any other losses. It's not in us to keep believing and trusting that God loves us. We might want to, but we can't. We can't live out of our own faith. It's too much. The world has gotten way too crazy. And thank God, we don't have to. We can ask Jesus for his faith. We can talk to him just like I'm talking to you. And then we can thank him for giving us as we have asked, because his faith is God's will for us. It is God's will that we should transform the world around us, just like Jesus did. Remember, nothing is impossible for God. And then we can act in accordance after we've given thanks. We can act in accordance with our requests for Christ's faith. We can begin to move and do things or think in certain ways. That the faith of Jesus Christ is more than a giant-sized hope and more than a figment of his imagination or ours. You see, the faith of Jesus Christ raised him from the dead, and today, right now, it is changing lives. I know, because it has changed mine. So the apostles said, increase our faith. And Jesus said, you don't need more faith. You need a different kind of faith, the kind that makes the impossible possible. Jesus went to the cross, trusting only in the love and goodness of God, whom he called Father. And in his resurrected life, we now live, move, and breathe in this new life. If we are a people of faith, a people who believe and trust in who Jesus of Nazareth is and in what he came to do, to create a new community, then we all want to participate in it. We'll all want to be a part of his reconciling work. We'll want to be co-creators of making the impossible possible. We live in a time and a place where impossibilities appear to be the name of the game. For anyone who's looked at the paper this morning or the headlines on the web, we know that our city, our country, and our world are crying out for a change. And that change just seems impossible. And if we think about it too long, our head hurts. So we don't have to think about it. Peace, justice, love, joy, conservation of the beauty of our planet, all these seem to be outside of our control. They seem like pipe dreams. But hear this, they are God's dream. Peace and justice, love, joy, conservation of our beautiful planet, these are God's dreams. And with a different kind of faith, the faith of Jesus Christ himself, they will become a reality through us. They will become a reality through us. God is just waiting for us to accept the faith of Christ, to ask for it, to thank him for it, receive it, and to move. I want to leave you with this scripture, which I often make my own, and I sometimes use it as a mantra. It can be found in the fourth chapter of 1 John, and it reads like this. Just when you think you don't have enough faith. Greater is the one who is within you than the one who is in the world. Anybody, everybody, repeat after me. Greater is the one who is within me,
who is within me.
than the one who is in the world. Say amen.